units closed down due to rising wages and low productivity. So most of the small scale industries, cottage industries, are shutting down. And the only reason for the small scale industry to shut down is because the employees are not ready to work at a minimum wage level. There is always a conflict between the management and the worker for higher wages. So when the wages are increasing, but at the same time the productivity is decreasing, which is not making their products and services competitive in the market, various small scale units and cottage industries, or say semi small scales, medium enterprises, are closing down their units, which is affecting the overall economy. The big companies often close down their units because labor productivity often fails to keep pace with inflated wages. Such moves taken often invite industrial tension. The worst effect of labor unrest is disruptions, which leads to misery and hardship. Now we have seen cases in past, because of the strikes, lockouts and slowdowns, overall economy is suffering. Ultimately it is a worker who will be at a miserable condition after so much of hardship, because they are the ultimate losers when it comes to closing down of any unit. It is ironically that strikes are done on account of rising price, but they give a setback to production, because of which prices rise further. So as we have discussed this earlier also, that because of high inflation, the lower class of people who are not able to, match up with the inflation, their salaries and wages are not able to match up with the inflation rise, they go on strike. But what they are doing by going on strike, further they are, deteriorating their situation, because this shortage of supply of goods and services will rise the price further. Once the price level has gone up, whatever little concessions are given to workers prove that agitation for still higher wages has to be resumed. So as an effect of this, what is happening? We have further given a rise to the price. There is a further price rise in the market. Now the employer definitely is not going to listen to your 100% demands or all list of demands. So your employer gives certain percentage or concessions to the workers, but now that concessions are also not going to work, because already the wages were low and the price is already at a very high level. Sometimes when there are strikes in essential services, they hold the whole city or state ransom. This is difficult to decide whether strikes deserve sympathy or condemnation, because great misery is caused to the masses in general. Now say public utility services. So sometimes there is a transport strike, for example. So because of this transport strike, various perishable goods which needs to be transported within a stipulated period of time are not being transported. So what is happening? Just because of this transport strike, the perishable goods, gets deteriorated, and that has to be sold at a very low price. And the people who are associated with this type of products are at heavy losses. So not only this transport strike affecting their own industry, but at the same time they are affecting the other industries as well. Now there sometimes due to the transport strikes, the general public, the general masses also have to suffer a lot, which is not only affecting the economic objective, but somewhere it is creating unrest, and it is also affecting the social objective. Now we have spoken a lot about what are the causes or what are the reasons of unrest or conflict between employers and employees. So here we are discussing some cures, because somewhere disputes are inevitable. They are going to occur on a lower level or a higher level, but there are possible cures for the same. There should be a rational wage policy evolved in such a way that it may increase with the effect of rising prices. So now here what we are deciding to have a wage policy which considers the inflation rate, and then they decide the minimum wage prevailing in the industry. The wage pattern should be so structured that the workers automatically become entitled to a rise in their wages. This will check a large number of avoidable strikes. Now here, if we have a wage policy which considers the inflation rate prevailing in the country, and at the same time they will also give a minimum percentage rise of wage which will be able to match with the inflationary rate, so there will be no dispute, because it will be a compulsion for any employer to give a minimum rise of in the wages depending on the inflation rate, and there will be lot of reduced number of strikes happening because of this. The principle of one industry, one union should be followed. Now, as we have discussed, there is a freedom to form multiple unions. So, if we make a compulsion that in an organization or in an industry, there will be only one union with respect to one industry, the problem of this multiplicity of trade union will be automatically resolved. Each industry should have only one union with a number of subcommittees to look after the special interests of different categories of workers. So here they are given a provision, a suggestion that there should be only one union prevailing in one industry. But yes, we do consider the different prioritization of objectives of different class of people. So we can, create some committees under one trade union who will look after into different categories of objectives that are set up by different categories of employees. One of the possible solution giving rise to unrest of the conflict between employer and employee is because of the outsiders who are participating in the trade union. So this outsiders, rather to resolve the conflict or unrest, what they are doing is they are increasing the unrest and conflict between the two masses because of their personal interest. So as we have discussed in our Trade Union Act 1926, that what was the basic reason of inviting such outsiders in the trade union, it was to guide the trade union or the workers or the members of the trade union, because this worker class or blue collar employees may not be knowing the negotiating skills, and they may not be aware about what is happening in the market. So here we have given a space for the outsider to come and help the unions, but whether it is going on the opposite side, because many of the outsiders who are actually majority of them are politicians or political parties. So they join trade unions for their personal benefits. Somewhere this should be restricted. So though we have some restriction policies on the participation of outsiders in the trade union, what suggestion is being given or offered over here is outside leaders holding position of office bearers of a union should be discouraged. That means the suggestion says that there should be no outsider entertained when we are talking about trade union. It should be all workers or employees engaged in the industries, working in the industries, because they will look into resolving of conflicts, and they will look into matters which will help them grow in the industry along with the employer. As the voluntary recognition of trade union have proved ineffective, the center should provide for statutory recognition of a sole bargaining agent and method of determining the representative status of a union. Here we are talking about recognition part that we have discussed in Trade Union Act 1926, that registration of the trade union is compulsory. Voluntary in nature, not compulsory, voluntary in nature, but the registration done by the trade union gives them the legal status. They give some extra benefits and privileges which are being mentioned in the act. But then what we talk about recognition is totally voluntary in nature and not compulsory. So somewhere the suggestion given over here says that because they are not being recognized, because they are not having any statutory obligation on the employer to recognize the registered trade union, they are not recognizing the trade union. And ultimately what we are talking about, collective bargaining is not happening. So if we have some statutory obligations imposed upon organizations or employers to recognize trade union, they will be in a better position to bargain, talk and discuss on the several matters of concern and come to a mutual agreement. So that will reduce, you know, the level of conflict happening in an industry, because both parties mutually agree to the point which will be readily accepted by the members of the trade union. Under a law applicable to all undertakings employing more than 100 workers, this is in tune with the recommendation made by the NCL. So here somewhere they are talking about the recommendation made by NCL that should be applicable to any organization, any unit, any industry employing more than 100 workers in the industry. The workers themselves should take over the leadership of the trade union. So this point is somewhere supporting the earlier point that we have discussed about discouraging the outsiders. So this point suggests that the workers themselves now need to develop some leadership skills, negotiating skills, bargaining power within them. And this will automatically, you know, have no need for the outsider to come and guide them and support them. And once this is done, we will not need any outsider, and we can, you know, stop the system of giving some space to outsider leaders. It is necessary to strengthen and streamline the industrial relation machinery. The government has to formulate a decisive and definite policy in regard to industrial relation. So when we talk about strengthening and streamlining of machinery, so these we have discussed when and how the grievance processes are being taken care of in any organization. So this should be streamlined, and this can be streamlined and strengthened only when some decision making powers are given to the authority on the down level, so that they can take decisions on their own and, you know, they can resolve the grievances at a very faster pace. So once this is done, there will be automatically in reduction of conflicts happening at a higher level. The government has to formulate a decisive and definite policy in regard to the industrial relations. Speedy actions must be taken to remove the grievances of the workers. The grievance procedure must be simple, time bound and maximum of 4 stages. So when we have dealt with the grievance resolving procedure, we have seen the number of stages that initial level they can, you know, approach in writing a complaint to the supervisor, then it goes to higher authority. So there are several stages or levels of grievance handling procedure, which should be reduced to maximum of 4 stages, and it should be very simple to understand so that the worker or the employee working in the organization who is not much educated also can understand the procedure. And also some decision making power, as I discussed, should be given to the earlier stages authorities so that they can resolve the grievances at a very early stage, and which will not create further frustration among the employees. Settlement must run their full course. The tendency of unions to upset the existing settlement should be firmly dealt with. The tendency of raising demands during the currency of the settlement must be discouraged and curbed. Now, what is settlement? Settlement is a term used when, we will take an example for this. Now, say in any industry, there was a conflict arising of whatsoever reason. Now, here the representatives of the employee and and the management sits on table and discuss the matter. Now they are, in the conversation, they are on a common point of agreement wherein they are ready to settle. So that is called a settle, which is a agreed or a common point of agreement accepted by both the parties. So what happens is, now few representatives among the trade union don't want to, go for settlement. There is an ego issue between them. They don't want to come to a common point, and then they want to raise this issue to the arbitrator level. Arbitrator level, what the issue will go to arbitration. What will happen is, whatever the solution or recommendation given by the arbitrator will be binding on both parties. So this will take the conflict to the next level, which will indeed create frustration and wastage of so much of time. So whenever there is a settlement happening, and if any party is disrupting to that settlement, there should be certain, actions should be taken against them. The tendency of raising demands during the currency of the settlement must be discouraged and curbed. The contract system of engaging labor should be abolished whether possible. The Contract Labor Regulation and Abolition Act 1970 must be strictly implemented. Now here we understand in simple terms, what is a contract labor? Contract labor is on a particular period of time. So once the contract gets over, employer is in a powerful position to renew it or not. So when there are increased number of this contract labors, they are at a fear of losing their jobs, because if they put forward their demands, then the employer may not renew their contracts. So at this stage, the employee is at a greater loss. So this will indeed create unrest and conflicts between the employer and employee. So here they have given a suggestion that such systems should be abolished. The a worker and the employee should be on a full payroll and on a permanent payroll. More attention should be given to training of workers. That means, earlier we have discussed the problems that are arising because of globalization. We have new technologies, new processes and methods coming into our country, which are already followed by the multinational companies or the foreign companies established. So if we are not ready to take up that change, we will have to shut down or put locks on our industries. So to avoid such situations, our employees or workers should be given continuous training. So whenever some new changes are being implemented, they will not resist to the change, because they are already ready for the change to be implemented. Better communication must be ensured. That means whenever we are talking about communication, it should go both the way, from worker to employer and employer to worker. So worker should be given that participation through suggestion schemes, or by holding regular meetings wherein their suggestions are being taken, wherein the areas of improvement are being taken from the workers or employees working on the floor. But at the same time, the management or the managers should also provide information regarding their future projects, their future plan of action that they are planning for with the workers. So this will create a trust building or a kind of a culture in an organization. Harmonious union management relationship will further help to avoid such conflicts. Change in workmen's attitude is necessary. It is to be achieved by continuous education and motivation of the workers. That means any worker who is carrying a negative attitude towards its organization, industry, or the employer will never be satisfied with whatsoever being given or provided to him. So this attitudinal change is also required, and this can be done through continuous education and motivation of workers. We have all discussed various schemes, programs that can be implemented to motivate the employee. Suitable schemes for payment of productivity linked bonus should be evolved in all industrial enterprises. Now here we are talking about bonus. We have spoken that bonus is a major issue because of which there were and there are industrial strikes and unrest. So here they have given a simple suggestion that why not to link bonus with the performance. So here we should implement a system wherein the amount of bonus paid will be directly related to the performance. Finally, the workers should be given opportunities to take part in management. This can check labor unrest. So here we have discussed participation of labor, that is labor management committees can be formed wherein few representatives of the laborers and the management together come to solve certain issues, or not only issues, how they can improvise on their processes and methods. So there are various programs and schemes like TQM, Total Quality Management, quality circles, implementing quality circles in the manufacturing or production unit will motivate the employees to give their suggestions, and this will create a good bonding between the employer and employee. So these all points what we have discussed are to avoid the unrest and conflict happening in the industry, because we know somewhere the disputes, the conflicts and the unrest are inevitable. They will happen wherever there is industry, wherever there are difference in opinion and ideas, there will be minor conflicts. But we take care this minor conflicts don't grow and form a greater form of strikes and lockouts. So here we have discussed few methods to cure such happenings in the industry, and we look forward to strengthen the industrial relation by implementing such suggestions which are being listed in this module. Thank you very much.